So this morning, I invite you to turn to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah 6, and if you would, stand with me for the honor of reading God's word, and we'll read Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth, and he said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And then I said, "Here am I, send me." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep on hearing but do not understand, keep on seeing but do not perceive, make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed." Then I said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is desolate waste, and the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again, and like a terebinth of an oak, or an oak whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump." Let's pray. Lord, give us ears to hear and eyes to see your truth today as we get a glimpse into the vision that Isaiah had before your holy throne in the heavenly realm. And I pray that you would help us to get a glimpse of what you are communicating to us, how we are to see you, how we are to worship you, how we are to see ourselves. Lord, what we must do before an almighty God. So Lord, help me to preach plain and clear today. Lord, I do realize that there is a strict judgment on my life in rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place, for it's in Jesus' name that I do pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. You may be seated. This morning, there's four words that will change your life. These four words: I saw the Lord. Isaiah says, "I saw the Lord." And everyone throughout history in the Bible who has seen the Lord, their life has been forever changed. He has this vision in the heavenly realm of God. It's in the year that King Uzziah died. Now, Uzziah was king for 52 years. He had a prosperous reign. He was powerful. He was the king of Judah. Israel, after Solomon, had split into two tribes, Israel and Judah. And he was, for the most part, a righteous king, a good king. The Bible tells us in the Chronicles that he set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah. And he was instructed by him. And when Uzziah sought to heed the Lord's word and follow him, then God made him prosper. And he prospered, and the land prospered, and the people had wealth, and they had luxury, and they had security, and they had safety from their enemies. He boasted of a magnificent army. The whole number of his army generals, elite warriors, were 2,600, which commanded an army of 307,500 soldiers. There was no enemy that could come against him. He had army shields, spears, helmets, coats of mail, bows, stones for slinging, and they even invented machines for war. But then the Bible says this: but when he was strong, he grew proud. How many of y'all ever get proud of yourself and you think you've arrived? and you think, wow, look at what I've done. Look at what I've accomplished. Look how smart I am. Look how strong I am. And Uzziah got pretty confident in himself. He looked at his army, he looked at his nation that he was ruling, and he thought, man, I'm doing a wonderful job. And he became proud. And there was one day when he went to go to the temple, and he went to burn incense at the altar. Now, the problem was is that he was the king and not the priest. It was not the king's job, nor duty, nor anointing to offer anything at the altar. That was the anointing of the priest. That was the responsibility of the priest. It was the priest who was to make sacrifices. It was the priest that was to burn incense, not the king. But he thought different. He went in to burn incense, and he had his censer, and he was ready. And Azariah, the priest, stopped him and said, this is not a good idea. This is not your duty. This is not what God's called you to do. This is a job and function for us, for the priest. And there was 80 other priests that were there to stop him from making this crime against their God. And he became proud and boastful. And the Bible says when he became angry at the priest, then on his forehead he was touched with leprosy. And he became a leper. And he had to abandon his household and live isolated from his kingdom. He passes. And Isaiah, along with the people there in Judah, are mourning the death of their king. What will they do? That now there is threat from around us. Now our safety is compromised. Now our freedoms are in jeopardy. The pleasures that we've enjoyed are uncertain. What do we do? The kings that are coming after them are going to be wicked, and they're not going to rule with righteousness. And so what do you do? And Isaiah is wondering about who's going to replace Uzziah, and how are we going to, what kind of king will we have? And the Lord intervenes and gives him a vision. And Isaiah says, I saw the Lord. He was high and lifted up. He was the king of all kings. He says, I saw the Lord. Our king may have died, but God is reminding Isaiah, hey, the true king still sits on the throne. Don't worship man, worship me. It's not about an earthly king, it's about a heavenly king. I am the Lord. And the seraphim were there. Seraphim means burning ones, the angels of fire who were so enamored around the throne of God, worshiping him and crying out to him. And with humility, they cover their feet and they cover their eyes because of the holiness of God. And with the other wings, they're in ready flight, ready at the beck and call of God and his command to obey him. And they cried, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The word host there means armies. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of armies. And God is telling Isaiah, you thought Uzziah was a good king. You thought he was a powerful king. You thought he had a mighty army. Isaiah, let me tell you, let me give you a glimpse of the true king whose throne is higher than any other's throne. He sits on the throne and no one can remove him. And he has a number of armies that surpass Uzziah. We got an army of angels, a fleet of angels that are ready at his beck and call to go at his command. Holy, holy, holy is God Almighty. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. And when the voice of God spoke, it says the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice who called him. When you see the Lord, everything changes. To really see the Lord. Now, very few people have really seen the Lord, have been brought into an experience with God. John the Revelator, when he was caught up into his vision, he says when he saw God, when he was in the presence of God, he said, I fell on my face like a dead man. He passed out. Anyone who would stand in the presence of God and his holiness can't stand. But yet, you know, in our mind, we pray prayers like this. Man, Lord, I would reveal yourself to me. I'd love just to be in your presence. I'd love to have an encounter with you. I'd love, Lord, would you just show me your glory? I'd like just manifest yourself to me, Lord. How many of y'all have ever prayed that prayer? Anybody have y'all ever prayed, Lord, I just want to see you, God. And boy, we don't know how dangerous of a prayer we pray when we say that. Because he's holy. 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 I remember as a teenager, I was praying, and I wanted to be a lawyer. That's what I wanted to be. And I wanted to be a trial lawyer. You know, I wanted to put criminals behind bars. I'm going to date myself here. I wanted to be like Matlock. And the Lord said, how about saving people from hell instead of trying to send people to jail? And so he was calling me into the ministry, and I was struggling with this. And I remember one night praying, you know, God, just show yourself to me, you know, reveal yourself to me. And I'm praying, I'm at my bed, and on the headboard, I have like some bookshelves and things, and I had a Mountain Dew, and I had a Mountain Dew sitting there, and it's full of ice, and it was sitting over there to the side, you know, and so it's full of ice, and I've been studying my Bible, and I'm praying, and I'm going, Lord, just, you know, show yourself to me, Lord, just show yourself to me. And what happens to ice when it just sits there for a while? It starts melting and it settles, right? I'm sitting there going, Lord, show me, just reveal yourself to me. And then the ice drops. And I'm going, I better have a heart attack. Like, oh, because I knew that if God would really manifest himself before us right now, there's not one of us that could stand. We would fall at our feet. We'd fall at his feet, and we'd fall down on our face. In Isaiah, he says when he saw this and he encountered this, this is his response there in verse 5. He says, and I said, woe is me, for I am lost, or I am undone, or I am cut off, or I have ceased to exist, or I am ruined. Woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips. He realized how sinful he was when he stood before a holy God. He saw the Lord for who he was, and he saw himself for who he was, that he couldn't stand before the presence of a holy, holy, holy God. It was his statement of confession. I'm a man of unclean lips. Oh, I would enjoy being able to join in the seraphim as they sing, holy, 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 but I'm unworthy. I'm not capable. I'm unable. There is sin in my heart, and I can't stand. And I like that he confessed his own sin before he confessed the sin of his people, right? I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among or dwell among a people of unclean lips. The first response that we need to make to really know the Lord is we must confess and admit that we are lost and we are hopeless apart from him. That he is holy and we are not. That we are ruined. That we have nothing that we can bring to him that brings favor to him. That we are completely undone and ruined. We're hopelessly lost. And then we can look around our nation and we can start looking at all of the sin and debauchery that goes on all around us every day, and then the media and Hollywood and all that, and we can point all that out and say, look at all the sin of all these people. But first, we need to make sure that we get the finger pointing in the right direction. First, let's first deal with our sin. Let's first deal with our heart. Let's first deal with our wickedness, with our greed, with our pride, with our jealousy, with our anger. Let's deal with ourself and say, Lord, I am a man of unclean lips. And then, after God's dealt with me, then I can minister those others that I'm around who also have unclean lips. You got to first admit that you're a sinner if you're ever going to be saved. If you're lost and you never admit you're lost, you'll never be found. You have to say, I'm ruined, I'm lost, I need help, I'm lost. Now here's the problem with most Americans. Man, we always think we're so good, right? Ah, we're not bad people. You know, in Kentucky, there's not a lot of Buddhists, which I'm sure there are some Buddhists that live in Kentucky. We don't have a lot of Muslims in Kentucky, though I'm sure there are some Muslims that live in Kentucky. We don't have a lot of Jewish synagogues in Kentucky, though I'm sure there might be some Jewish practicing people in this state. But we have made up our own religion in Kentucky. It's called the good old boy religion. Right? It's, well, I'm a pretty good boy, so I must be okay to go to heaven. We really have created a works-based salvation where we feel like as long as we don't do the very bad things, we're okay. And have you ever noticed that everybody thinks they're good? Even people who are bad. How many of y'all have watched the news before about someone who has murdered someone, shot someone, and killed someone? And the mom is like, oh, he's good, but he's a good boy. He's a good boy. I don't know anybody that has ever been described as a bad person who has a mama. Mamas always love their babies, right? You know, you can have the most cantankerous, mean, honorary person ever live, they die, and at their funeral, they are a saint, right? I mean, everybody's just good. Here, because we judge, as long as we don't do certain sins, and we'll judge the sins, and we'll wait the sins. Here's the very bad ones, and let's write those down. As long as I avoid those, I'm going to be pretty good, because here's what we think. We think that God is going to have some type of heavenly balance scale, and he's going to put all of our good deeds on one side and all of our bad deeds on the other side, and if our good deeds outweigh the bad deeds, then we're going to be fine. We're going to get in. And everyone thinks they're what? Good. So everybody thinks that the scale is going to be tipped in their favor. Here's the problem. You ready? I know this is hard, but the Bible says this: our righteousness is like filthy rags in the sight of God. That even the good things we do are stained with sin. That there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every single one of us. So guess what? If we're going to stand before God and we're going to do this balancing scale, here's how it's going to look. You ready? You're going to stand before God. He's going to say, here's your deeds. And you'll not enter the kingdom of God. Because no one is righteous enough to go to heaven by their own merit. Period. So this morning, I don't know where you are with God. I don't know what you're thinking about, what happens to you when you die. I don't know if you're believing that as long as I'm a good person, You know, as long as I love people, you know, love has become America's God, you know. It's all on Facebook, and you got this rainbow circle around your picture. You can say, and love is love, love is love, love is love. I don't even know what that means. Love is love. What's that mean, love is love? God is love. Love doesn't define God. God defines love. Wrath is wrath. Holy is holy. Righteous is righteous. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And the whole earth will be filled of his glory. And his glory will be seen and made manifest. And when you see the Lord, you will say, as Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone. That was his confession. This morning, if you've never admitted that you're a sinner, if you've never came to the point where you said, woe is me, Lord, I am a sinner in need of a Savior, I need mercy, I'm going to ask that at the invitation today that you would call upon the mercy of God. Now, let's see what happens. So he makes his confession that he's undone. And then verse 6 says, Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal they had taken with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth and said, behold. In the King James Version, it says, lo, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is what? Taken away, and your sin atoned for. That word atone means to be appeased, to be covered over, to be paid for. How many of you are thankful for the grace of a holy God? Amen. So he admits that he is undone, that he is ruined, that he cannot cease in the presence of a holy God. And God then takes the coal from the altar, touches his tongue, the very thing that Isaiah said was unclean, and God redeems it. He forgives his sin, removes his guilt, and atones for him. And that's called redemption and forgiveness. That's a beautiful thing. Do you know that the Bible tells us that on the cross of Calvary, that Jesus became sin on our behalf? Not that he sinned, he was sinless, but he became sin on our behalf. He bore the wrath of God, that the wrath of God that should have fallen on us, he poured it down on his son Jesus. So that any man or woman who calls upon the name of the Lord can have the burning coal of the cross of Calvary applied to their heart and have their sin removed, that their guilt is gone, and that their sin is atoned for, covered over by the grace of God, made right before a holy God, able to gain entrance into heaven, not because of what you have done, but because of what he has done. Not because you are holy, but because he is holy. How many of y'all are thankful to have your sins removed? Isn't that good news? Not guilty. I committed the crime. I was guilty. Your Honor, I am undone. I have nothing to say. There's no argument. There's no evidence that I can bring. Everything would be thrown out in the court of law. I am ruined. But I have Jesus, who is an advocate, who steps up as my lawyer, and he pleads my case, and he says, this man here, he confessed that he was a sinner, and he called out for grace and mercy. And the Holy Spirit applied the salvation to him, and he is now a son of the living God. All of his crimes that he has committed is remembered no more. It's forgotten. It's been removed. I have been set free by the blood of Jesus. That's good news. Amen. Isaiah experienced the cleansing of God. His confession that he was a sinner led to cleansing and turned him to a saint. How many of you all this morning, I know many of you all have already done this, have confessed that Jesus is Lord, that he's holy and you're not, and you've asked for his mercy, and you've had the coal of the grace of God through the cross and resurrection applied to your life. If you've had that experience, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that a good thing? If you've never experienced that, guess what? He offers that to you this morning. The Holy Spirit desires that you would admit that you are ruined, that you are lost, so that you might be found today. And then he gives Isaiah commission. Now watch this. So then he gets to hear the conversation of what I believe is the triune God. Verse 8, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go. Here am I, send me. Now, oftentimes we focus on the word me there. Me. Me. Oh, here am I, here am I, here am I, send me. Me, 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 me. I think we ought to focus on the word send. Isaiah says, here am I, send me. Send me, Lord, send me. I don't want to go if you don't send me. I don't want to do something that I just want to do, but if you send me, I'll go. If you are the one leading me, if you are the one guiding me, if you are the Lord of hosts and the army of angels surround me and you're protecting me and you're covering me, then I'll go. Send me, Lord, and wherever you send me, I'll go. Whatever that is. Wherever that is. Whatever you want me to say, if you tell me to say it, I'll say it. Wherever you want me to go, if you tell me to go, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, whatever it is you send me to do, I'll do. But you got to send me. Now, here's the thing. So Isaiah has this experience with God that many of us will never have until we are actually in the presence of God in heaven. He has seen the throne of God. He has heard the voice of God. He has been given a commission of God. And you think, man, that's amazing, isn't it? I mean, how many of y'all would love, that would be an incredible experience. Y'all think that's an incredible experience so far? How many of y'all say that? Say amen. Go to this people and they are not going to listen to you. Go and preach to these people and their hearts are going to be hardened. Wow. I mean, he just had this magnificent experience with God, this encounter in the presence of the throne room of God. He's had the height. He's seen the Lord, and he's given a commission, and God says, I want you to go, and you're going to preach to people, and they're not going to listen to a thing you say. I'm glad I don't have that experience. Amen. Man, it's a kind of a depressing commission. You got to be honest, right? I mean, you're going to go and you're going to harden hearts. There's going to be a few that gets it, he tells Isaiah. There's going to be, though a tenth remain, though a remnant, there's always been a remnant through the Bible. There's always been a remnant that God's had his hand on, that he's protected. Though there's going to be a remnant, though there's going to be a few that get it, most will not. Now, this could have been disheartening for Isaiah, but it wasn't. You know why? Because who was Isaiah trying to please? Was he trying to please people or God? Did the people give him his commission or did God give him his commission? Talk to me, church. God gave it to him. So Isaiah had seen the Lord. He knew how that he was the Lord of the armies. He was the Lord of the armies. He had an angelic force that was at his beck and call. He knew the one whom he served, and there was only one that he was ready to please, and that was God. And so if the Lord said, you need to go to these people and you need to preach, but not hardly any of them are going to hear it, they're not going to respond, but I just want you to be faithful, Isaiah. Isaiah said, here am I, you send me. Because it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks or says or does around me. I'm not trying to please people. I'm trying to please the Lord. That's our goal. Don't live your life trying to please people. Some of you, you get so tore up about what other people think or say. Please God. Seek to live for Him. I wonder why they didn't like that post. They still haven't liked it. 4 minutes later, they still haven't liked it. And your whole day is ruined because somebody didn't like your post. Who cares? Would God be in favor of this post? Would this be pleasing to Him? If this be pleasing to Him, then that's all I care about. Wonder what they meant by that post. I think they're talking about me. I mean, who cares? Isaiah, I want you to go, and you're going to preach, and there ain't going to be hardly anybody that's going to listen to you. That's beside the point. I just want you to be faithful. You let the success be from the hand of God. You just do what God calls you to do and leave the results to Him. You just be faithful in living for the Lord and trusting Him and pleasing Him and doing what God wants you to do. And don't worry about anybody else. And so Isaiah goes with a commission and he starts preaching. Very few listen. Very few get it. Most don't. Most harden their heart and they turn against God. Now, when Isaiah saw the Lord, who did he see? I believe he saw Jesus, the exalted one. When Jesus was ministering and he was preaching, he taught in parables and he told stories and he preached. And hearing they would not hear and seeing they would not see. And the Pharisees and the religious leaders of his day would not get it. And actually their hearts became harder. There were just a few of the religious people who would get it. But for the majority of them, their hearts were hardened. What God told Isaiah to preach had its ultimate fulfillment in the life and the ministry of Jesus. For Jesus says in John 12, when he's explaining to the people who he is and that he's going to have to go to the cross and how he's going to have to die, and there's people that won't listen, they won't hear, he says, and right was Isaiah when he said, he quotes this chapter, this commission, and he applies that to himself. That when Jesus came, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But he was faithful unto God his Father, and he went all the way to the cross, and he was crucified, and he said, if the Son of Man be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. That doesn't mean if the Son of Man is lifted up in worship, though I think we should worship him. Jesus is referring to the cross. If the Son of Man be lifted up on the cross, then he will draw all men to himself. And so when he died on the cross and rose again on the third day, all of the prophetic hope that was through the Old Testament preached through the prophets had come to fulfillment on that day. And the mystery of the gospel that the Apostle Paul talks about has now been revealed. Jesus, the Messiah, the exalted one, the one high on his throne, seated in the heavenlies, he came down and became man to take on our sins so that we might be made right before a holy God. And now he gives us a commission, one that has much better hope than Isaiah's, one that says, all authority in heaven has been given unto me. Now go, therefore, and make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. And he's given us a commission to go share the truth of who he is. And the church is victorious. Can I say that? The church is victorious. It's not defeated. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. The gospel will go forth to the entire world. Every tongue, tribe, and nation will hear the gospel, and at the throne of God in Revelation, we see peoples from every tongue, tribe, and nation worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why? Because God sends men and women to go forth and share the truth of who Jesus is. You know what? God's going to send missionaries out of this church. Some of them are going to go to foreign lands and preach the gospel. Most of us, we're not going to go into foreign lands. And so the thing might be, here's the better question we might need to ask. Lord, where am I? Send me. Where am I? Where do you live? Who are you around? Who are the people that you influence around you each and every day? Wherever you are, you can be a witness for the Lord. Amen? And so our prayer every day needs to be, Lord, where am I? Wherever you send me today, God, at my work, around my friends, at the ball field, wherever I am, send me. Let me be a missionary everywhere I go. Let me point people to the true King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Isaiah had a confession. He was a sinner. He experienced a cleansing. He was saved. Then he received a commission to go. Guess what? Those same three callings are right now. Have you admitted that you're a sinner? Have you called upon the grace of the Lord for salvation? Have you been saved and set free by the blood of Jesus? Now, are you going to live in that commission to go and be a witness to where he's called you to be? Let's pray. Lord, today,